ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 10 टाइटल्ड द नेचर ऑफ फ्लूइड एक्टिविटी Text number 3. Suptasya Vishaya Loko
Suptasya Vishaya Loko
Jayato Vamanorataha
Jayato Vamanorataha
Namatmak Atvat Vipahalas
Namatmak Atvat Vipahalas
Tatha Vedatma
Virgunai Tatha Vedatma Virgunai
Suptasya
Suptasya
Of one who is sleeping. Vishaya.
Vishaya.
Sense gratification.
Alokaha.
Seeing. Dhyayata.
Dhyayata.
One who is meditating.
One is meditating.
Vaha. Manaratha.
Manaratha.
Merely a creation of the mind. Nana.
Nana.
A large variety.
A large variety.
Atmakatvat.
Atmakatvat.
Due to having the nature of.
Due to having the nature of.
Vipala.
Vipala.
Bereft of the real perfection.
Bereft of the real perfection.
Tatha.
Tatha.
In that way.
In that way.
Veda Atma.
Veda Atma.
In that which is separately constituted.
In that which is separately constituted.
Dhi.
Dhi.
Intelligence.
Intelligence.
Kunai.
Kunai.
By the material senses.
By the material senses.
Translation by the servant of His Divine Grace, Srila Isi Bhakti Vinoda Swami Prabhupada. One who is sleeping may see many objects of sense gratification in a dream, but such pleasurable things are merely creations of the mind and are thus ultimately useless. Similarly, the living entity who is asleep to his spiritual identity also sees many sense objects. But these innumerable objects of temporary gratification are creations of the Lord's illusory potency and have no permanent existence. One who meditates upon them, impaired by the senses, uselessly engages his intelligence. Please repeat after me. One who is sleeping may see many objects.
One who is sleeping may see many objects.
Of sense gratification in a dream.
Of sense gratification in a dream.
But such pleasurable things are merely creations of the mind.
But such pleasurable things are merely creations of the mind.
And others ultimately useless.
And others ultimately useless.
Similarly, the living entity who is asleep to his spiritual identity,
the living entity who is asleep to his spiritual identity,
also sees many objects.
Also sees many objects.
But these innumerable objects, of temporary gratification, of the Lord's illusory potency,
of the Lord's illusory potency,
and have no permanent existence.
And have no permanent existence.
One who meditates upon them, impaired by the senses, uselessly engages his intelligence.
Uselessly engages his intelligence.
For quote. Because the fruits of material work are temporary, it ultimately does not matter whether or not one obtains them. The final result is the same. Materialistic activities can never award the highest perfection of life, that is Krishna consciousness. The material intelligence, impaired by the senses, strongly desires sense gratification. As stated here, Vedatma Dhi, such intelligence actually separates one from one's real self-interest. Thus, the intelligence absorbed in that which is materially favorable and unfavorable becomes divided in pursuit of innumerable categories of material advancement. Such divided intelligence is impotent and cannot understand the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. The devotees of the Lord, however, have their intelligence fixed on one point, Lord Krishna. They meditate upon the Lord's form, qualities, pastimes and devotees, and thus their intelligence is never separated from the absolute truth. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 2.41, Vipsasmika Pudir Ekeha Kuru Nandana Bahushakas Ki Anantasya Budayo Vivasayana. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Gurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branched. If one is not Krishna conscious, he is uselessly dreaming without any understanding of his eternal situation. The material intelligence will always devise novel means of achieving happiness, and therefore one bounces from one fruitless program of sense gratification to another. Ignoring the simple fact that all material things are temporary and will disappear. In this way, one's intelligence becomes infected with material lust and greed. And such infected intelligence cannot bring one to the true goal of life. One should hear from the bona fide spiritual master whose intelligence is pure, and then one will come to Krishna consciousness, the highest perfection of life. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरंदस्यज्ञानतिनाशकाय But such pleasurable things are mainly creations of the mind and are thus ultimately useless. Similarly, the living entity who is asleep to his spiritual identity also sees many sense objects. But these innumerable objects of temporary gratification are creations of the Lord's illusory potency and have no permanent existence. One who meditates upon them, impelled by their senses, uselessly engages his intelligence. So we all have heard of this famous bhajan, you know, Jeev Jago, Gaura Chandra Bole. This is by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And in this, he's saying that Lord Gauranga is saying, "Oh sleeping souls, please wake up from the deep sleep on the lap of the witch Maya." So we see in this, that Lord Gauranga is saying that the jivas should wake up from this sleep, and in this sleep a dream is created, a very extraordinary dream. The dream is that the living entity is forgetful of his real identity, who he really is. Just like we can see in this verse, the analogy is very interesting. It's given that, you know, one who's sleeping and he's in a dream, he sees many sense objects, and all of these are simply creations of the mind. In other words, that the living entity, the person who is asleep, is separate from the dream. So since time immemorial, like, we've been asleep, the jivas have been asleep and they're dreaming, and in that, because in that dream, they don't know what the identity is and what the real happiness is. So as we know that the philosophy, Jivera Sulupoye Krishnera Nityara, that we are part and parcel of Krishna, the tiny part and parcel of Krishna. And actually we belong to the spiritual world. So that is our, like, awake state in the spiritual world. But because of we have fallen asleep, we are in this dream condition. So in the spiritual world, we are meant to be enjoyed by Krishna, because we are part and parcel of Krishna, and our constitutional position is to be the servant of Krishna. So in the spiritual world, everyone is the servant of Krishna, and everybody is trying to please Krishna, trying to please Krishna's senses. Like we see, and everybody is not trying to become like the master of the master. Everyone is the servant of the servant in the spiritual world. It's like we see with Krishna's gopis. They all are, like there's the Ashtashakis. So they all are like assisting Radharani so that she can serve Krishna. And we see like the other gopis, they are serving them. So like nobody wants to serve Krishna directly. Even Radharani, she gets the other gopis to serve Krishna. So that's the mood over there. The mood is of service, not of enjoyment. But we see in the material world, this turns upside down. The mood is of enjoyment. And we see like that, that enjoyment is very imaginary and temporary. You know, just like, you know, Prabhupada was giving the example of, you know, people go to cinemas to watch movies and like, and then they like end up crying, they watch the sentimental, emotional movies. So like, you know, if we go in a cinema, it is all dark and we are watching this movie. So but actually, where is the movie coming from? It is just coming from a projector. You know, it is just beams of light, nothing else. But because it is all dark, and you know, then we can see we can experience all the different emotions. But you know, like when the movie finishes, they turn on the light, then all you see is just, you know, you can see the reality. You know, it's nothing. You know, it is actually imaginary and temporary. So Maya is like that, you know, that which is not. So from the spiritual world, how does the living entity come to the material world? Because in the spiritual world, the jiva is just the servant of Krishna in his constitutional position. But because we all have this free will, whatever we have, it is there in Krishna also. So we see Krishna is fully independent. So we also have this minute independence. So when this minute independence is misused, or the free will is misused, Krishna lovingly creates for us this material world. Actually, Krishna doesn't want to do it. But because the living entity desires it and forces Krishna, so Krishna has to do it. Just like Prabhupada gives the example of, you know, the mother and the baby. So the baby is saying, I want the moon at night. I want the moon. So the mother knows, you know, cannot give the baby the real moon. So what she does, she gives the baby a mirror. So in the mirror there is a reflection of the moon. So then the baby thinks, oh yes, now I've got the moon. So before the baby is crying, then the baby is somehow pacified. So similarly, because the jiva wants to enjoy that Krishna, wants to take Krishna's position, so Krishna creates this illusory world for the jiva, so that the jiva can enjoy, can think it's enjoying, like that. It's just actually holding the mirror in its hand. It's just a perverted reflection. So therefore, you know, because in the spiritual world, Krishna is the enjoyer, Krishna is the proprietor, and Krishna is the controller. And if we want the same thing, you know, that is actually not possible. And Krishna cannot give us the same thing because it is not possible. So Krishna has to give an imitation. So where the living entity is thinking is the enjoyer, the controller, and the proprietor. So then, therefore, Krishna creates this illusory material world. And in this illusory material world, the jiva is thinking in terms of I and mine. You know, because the jiva identifies with the body. And therefore it thinks that it is the body. And anything in relation to the body is his. It's just like, this is my house, my car, my clothes, my book, my glasses, my this, my that. Expands my community, my nation, my universe, my planet, you know. So like that, the designations keep building upon the basic misconception.
My laptop.
My laptop. Thank you. My phone. So the jiva is in this vast material ocean, and it is being tossed by the waves of time. And under the influence of the waves of time, it is thinking in terms of past, present, and future. Actually, all these three things are not there: past, present, and future. In the spiritual world, time is conspicuous by its absence. So, but by the in the material atmosphere and being pushed away by the waves of time, it is thinking in terms of past, present, and future. And just like, you know, if you go to the ocean, we can see so many waves and there are so many bubbles, you know, bubbles in the ocean. These bubbles are very short-lived, very temporary. So these bubbles are compared to our present condition. Like, you know, job we have, the position we have, our financial status, this or that. This is compared to the bubbles. Or, you know, my friend, our present situation. But we see that the bubbles don't last forever. So sooner or later, this has to be destroyed. And then the point is, you know, we are in the dream, then why can't we get out of the dream? That is due to attachment. And, you know, this is very nicely described in this verse. How similarly the person who is sleeping, he sees many objects of sense gratification. And, you know, in Bhagavatam, there's the, I think in the 12th canto, it's a very nice example given of a person who is in a dream and he sees his head being chopped off. And when his head is being chopped off, and then it is, you know, lying on the ground and it is chopped. But if you think about it, it doesn't make any sense, you know. How can you see your head being chopped off? And then it is lying down in a pool of blood. You know, because our eyes are in the head, you know. How can we see the head? That means actually we are something separate from, you know, what we are seeing. So, but it is due to attachment that we identify with the dream. Just like, you know, sometimes, for example, you know, if we are, sometimes we, you know, go for a holiday, okay? So you hire a car, you go to budget, you hire a car. Or like sometimes I know some students who drive taxis, they don't care at all for the car. Because as a speed breaker comes, you go over it at 60 km, and, you know, you do some wheelies, burnouts, you know, it doesn't matter because it's not your own car, you know. As long as you bring it back in one piece, there's no dents on it. Mechanically, it doesn't matter what happened to it. But because it's not our own car, we're not attached to it. So you know, we're not, it doesn't really bother us. But like when you drop the hire car back and you take your own car back home, then, you know, then a speed breaker will come, you know, immediately slow down, okay? Or if you hit a rock, oh, it hit me. So, oh, that hurt. Or somebody hits you from behind. You know, many times people's reaction is, you know, why did you hit me? So because it is due to attachment. So it is, similarly, it is due to attachment that the jiva is in the material world, is in this dream-like position. It is simply due to attachment. And so also in the Bhagavatam, other examples are given of how, like, you know, in a dream sometimes we see, like, we are flying high in the sky, we are on a golden peak mountain. So we see there's actually the night dream and there's the day dream. So the night dream we all can experience, you know. We sleep, sometimes we dream, we are this, we are that. But when we wake up, there's the daydream. Because the living entity is not aware of his true identity. He's misidentifying with the body. So whatever is happening in the daytime, that is like the daydream. Just like if somebody meets with an accident or something happens, that is actually also a dream because that has nothing to do with the soul. You know, that has simply to do with the body, and the self is not the body. So in that sense, that is also a dream. So there's the day dream and the night dream. Similarly, you can see all the pleasures and pains we experience, they're actually a dream. Because they have to do with the body, they're not to do with the self. So in this verse it is very nicely described. One who is asleep to his spiritual identity, he sees many sense objects, but these innumerable objects of temporary gratification are creations of the Lord illusory potency and they have no permanent existence. So we say actually these the pleasures and pains we experience, they have nothing to do with the Atma. And how the dreams we see at night, they are simply creations of the mind. So similarly, these The pleasures and pains we experience through the sense objects, they are simply the creations of the Lord's illusory potency. They actually don't have anything to do with the self. So, but then, you know, one can say, okay, if like this is a dream, then is it real or it is false? But actually we see that that material nature and the body we have, it is real, it is not false. Sometimes the Mayavadis they say that this body is false, that this world is false, you know. But actually we see that this cosmic manifestation is real. You know, all the 24 elements, they are for real. The Mahatattva and time, the three modes of nature, all these things are for real. But they are temporary. But the thing is, within this reality, there is their manifestations, and these manifestations are temporary. But we can't say that this body is false. You know, this body is real. Even the dreams we experience at night, they are real. But they're just temporary. And that's how it's very nicely described in the purport here also. Because the fruits of material work are temporary, it ultimately does not matter whether or not one obtains them, because the final result is the same. It is all temporary. So, but the dream is that we identify with the body. That is actually the dream. So, you know, when we identify with the body, we also identify with the different enjoyments and sufferings which come as a result of the identification with the body. So, that's why we experience so many dualities. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions, seven, Icha, Dvesha, Samusena, that, what's the translation? Prasanna Krita, or Conqueror of Four, that, delusion. All living entities are? It's something like that. All living entities, that they are deluded by different kinds of dualities. So what happens when the living entity, as I said in the beginning, that it is, when the living entity falls away from its constitutional position, it comes under the sphere of illusion. And this illusory potency acts twofold. It has these dualities, like and dislike. So when the soul identifies with the body, it experiences all these different dualities, like honor, dishonor, pain, infamy, heat, cold, happiness, distress, respect, disrespect, you know. All of these are due to identification with the body. And the dream carries on as long as we identify with it. And in this dream, we see people make so many plans how to enjoy. You know, Gopal Mishra was very nicely describing this. How people make so many plans, you know, to enjoy. But we see all these plans are, as described in the last verse, they are doomed to failure, because we are bound up by birth, death, old age, disease, and the three kinds of other miseries. And then according to our desires, the living entity is transmigrated to different kinds of life species. According to the desires, Krishna has made 8.4 million different species of life in which the living entity is transported according to the desires. And we can see actually these desires can never be fulfilled. It is like, you know, our desires are compared to fire, and it is like pouring fuel on the fire. So by trying to enjoy the material world, the desires can actually never be fulfilled. And we see actually material pleasures, they end up in suffering. You know, Krishna says in Gita 5:22 that Krishna says in 5:22 that the intelligent person does not engage his senses with the objects of the senses, because he can see that is the source of misery. So actually, like the material pleasures, they look very, very attractive. You know, like the like the, all the five sense objects, they look very, very attractive. But when one engages in them, that is actually a trap, and it actually ends up in suffering. And in this verse, we can see how actually one who meditates upon the sense objects, impelled by the senses, uselessly engages his intelligence. So we see how, since the senses, because the tendency of the senses is to drag towards the sense objects, and like the mind is sitting in between, and then there's the intelligence. So it's like sometimes, you know, you're on a diet, you're not meant to eat certain things. So the intelligence is saying, okay, you know, don't eat this. But the senses are pulling, you know. Let me taste some of that halwa. Mm-hmm. Let me taste some of that sweet rice. It's very nice. And the mind is like in between. So if the mind gives in to the senses, then the intelligence automatically follows. Because Krishna describes the nature of the mind. It is very obstinate, turbulent, strong, you know, it is very restless, chanchalam, very flickering. And the intelligence is actually like, is compared to a needle. And the needle is, you know, meant to pierce through the cloth. But sometimes the mind is like a thick brick, and like an iron brick. So the intelligence, the fine intelligence, cannot go through it. So it's because the senses are so strong, they actually, because Krishna describes the whole process. When one meditates on the sense objects, you know, he develops attachment for them. He develops a desire for them, to enjoy them. So then the senses, they actually pull the living entity. And as a result, one loses his intelligence. And then with the intelligence, we rationalize. Just like, okay, you know, maybe the doctor said, you know, like this, you know, we can justify various means to enjoy it. Because it is because the senses are pulling us. And you can see, like, sometimes, you know, people commit crimes, but they justify in so many ways. So this is how the intelligence is misused. But actually the intelligence is meant to serve God. It's meant to serve Krishna. Devise various means where to serve Krishna. But due to the influence of the senses, it actually gets carried away. But we see one who is a devotee, he is actually awake to reality. Because we see a materialist, he is asleep, he is in the dream, but a devotee is awake to reality. And so, you know, like we are in this dream, but in a practical way, what to do? We have these senses. So the point is to engage a different designation, our propensity, you know, our talent in the service of the Lord of the senses, Rishikesh. In that way, one can get liberation from this dream. Otherwise, to come out of this dream is very, very difficult. You know, Krishna says himself in Bhagavad Gita, that this dream-like condition, this material existence, is actually insurmountable. You know, the living entity is bound up by ropes. Another meaning of guna is ropes. The jiva is bound up by ropes, and these ropes are very, very strong. And in order to overcome it, you know, one has to engage all of one's different propensities in serving Krishna. So we see also, like, you know, sometimes Mayavadis, you know, they also realize this material world is a place of suffering. You know, they understand this part, that, you know, we are like in a dream-like condition. So, you know, the material happiness leads to suffering. You know, they understand that point. That would be the 522. But they think they want to come out of this material existence and become God. Sometimes they think like that. But actually, that is making things worse. You know, that is also another dream. Because just like, you know, when one comes to this material world, he wants to lord it over. It's like one wants to become a big businessman. He wants to have so many people working under them, he wants to control them. So, you know, that is the material tendency. But if one thinks one wants to be God, that is like, you know, it gets worse. Then one wants to be the supreme controller, enjoyer and provider. It's actually the same thing. It's the same dream. It's just, you know, but then, you know, we can ask them, okay, if you want to be God, how come you are in this, you know, in this material world? They say, oh, I've just forgotten that I'm God. You know, but how can the living entity forget that he's God? You know, if illusion can cover God, then that means that illusion is more powerful than God. You know, once I met a person. He said I'm God, but he doesn't have a job. You know, how come God is struggling for a job, you know, these days? Or, you know, another very famous example of Srila Prabhupada. He was talking to somebody and that person was a Mayavadi. He said he's God. And Prabhupada said, okay, you're God. So they kept on talking. And then that person wanted to go to the toilet. Prabhupada told his servant to actually lock the toilet. And then, you know, and then that person was getting desperate. And so, you know, he's saying, I want to go to the toilet. Prabhupada says, no, you're God, you know. Why do you need to go? You should be able to control your bowels. But then Prabhupada says, okay, first we admit that you're not God. Then we open the door. And then finally that person admitted, then they, you know, opened the door. So, you know, if people say they're God, but, you know, what kind of God are they? You know, if one is God, he's supposed to be the controller of everything, you know. He should be able to control old age, death, disease, should be able to control, you know, his heartbeat, his bowels. But we can see actually, you know, that is not true. You know, if one says, one wants to become God, that is actually, disease condition has got even worse, you know. Srila Prabhupada says many times in his purport that to think one is God is like the last layer of Maya, you know. And it is also described that this material ocean is very, very fast. You know, no matter how expert we are in swimming, we cannot cross beyond it. This material ocean is very, very fast. You know, sometimes like, you know, you throw a dog in a swimming pool. So you can see the dog is swimming very proudly, you know, the head above the water and like that, you know. But okay, it's a swimming pool, you can maybe it might come out of it. Like sometimes you see the cat here, you know, jumps in the pond here to catch the fish and somehow it very proudly comes out. But this material ocean is very, very fast. It is not, no matter how expert a swimmer we are. Like, you know, some people have crossed the Suez Canal. You know, there's like, it's been a record, they've crossed the Suez Canal. But can anyone cross an ocean? Go from here to America, you know? It's not possible. So this material ocean is very, very vast. It is like insurmountable. One cannot cross it on our own strength. So, you know, it is like we are like a dog trying to cross over this material ocean. But if one surrenders unto Krishna, Krishna is going to speak, Krishna reduces that ocean to the size of a car's footprint. You know, that water is like this much. And then one can easily cross beyond it. So, simply by Krishna's mercy, one can cross over it. Simply by Guru's mercy. Because at this point, our intelligence is like contaminated. And intelligence is the next door neighbor of the soul. So, if the guard is let down, then the soul is in a very risky position. That's why we need superior intelligence. That's why we have Shastra, we have Guru, we have Sadhu. Because our intelligence is contaminated. Lust, because Krishna says, you know, Krishna describes the seeding places of lust. One of them is intelligence. The senses, the mind and intelligence are the seeding places of this lust. So we need to strengthen our intelligence through Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Because their intelligence is pure. That's why there's so much emphasis on reading Srila Prabhupada's books. And in that way we can see through material existence. So we can see the fault in material existence. And the only way, how to take Krishna, shelter of Krishna, you know, that is very easy. In Kali Yuga, it is by chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
So when we, you know, when we, that's why Srila Prabhupada said, chanting 16 rounds, following the four regulative principles, the sadhana. So this actually, this is our shelter. This is what actually protects us. Otherwise, like, you know, Maya is very, very attractive. On the surface, it is very attractive. But when one engages in it, you know, then it actually leads to misery. So when one engages the senses with the sense objects, they are actually the source of misery. But actually, sometimes in Krishna consciousness, in the beginning, it seems to be very austere. You know, it is like poison. Like, you know, chanting, rising up early, you know, rising early, the morning program, or, you know, different aspects of Krishna consciousness are like a great austerity. But actually, deep below is an ocean of nectar. Actually, even in doing these different items of sadhana bhakti are also very relishable in itself. But in the beginning, because we are very averse to Krishna consciousness, it is like poison. But as one practices it more and more, sincerely engages in the process, it becomes like nectar. And then this process is joyfully performed. And, you know, sometimes, you know, devotees get caught up in this thing. Okay, you know, we are in this dream, you know. How did we come in this dream? Or when did we come? You know, they want to find out when exactly we fell down from the spiritual world. You know, the point is, we are in the material world. What are we going to do about it? You know, sometimes these debates are going on. Okay, you know, Prabhu, when did you fall down, you know, from the spiritual? How did you fall down? We should understand that we fell down due to envy, you know, due to misusing of free will. That's enough to understand. When exactly we came, you know, that's not important. The main thing is to come out of it. So an intelligent devotee will want to come out of it. So actually, I'll just read out Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bhajan, you know, that Jeev Jagat, the translation. It is actually very relevant to this verse. The first text is, Lord Varuna calls, wake up sleeping souls, wake up sleeping souls. You have slept so long in the lap of the witch Maya. You came into this world saying, oh my Lord, I will certainly worship you. But having forgotten this promise, you have remained in great ignorance. I have descended just to save you. Other than myself, who else is your friend? I have brought the medicine for destroying the illusion of Maya. Now pray for this Harinam Mahamantra and take it. Thakur Bhaktivinod fell at the lotus feet of Gauranga, and after begging for the holy name, he received the Mahamantra. So in this bhajan, it is very nicely described actually how to come out of the dream-like situation. You know, if one wants to come out of the dream, one actually comes out through sound, you know. When one is sleeping, only the sense of hearing actually works, you know. The sense of hearing can actually save us. Like when we are sleeping, we cannot see anything, you know. We cannot. But if there's a robbery, we can hear. You know, if they say somebody enters your house, but through your sense of hearing, one can hear that somebody has entered. So through sound, we can wake up. That's why we have an alarm clock to wake up in the morning. At least for myself, I have an alarm clock. Maybe many of you wake up spontaneously. But so through sound we wake up. So similarly, when we have to be woken up to a real identity, to our entity as, you know, servant of Krishna, we have to be woken up through sound. And in this bhajan, it is very nicely explained how through the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra we can be come back to our awake state, to our real state. Otherwise, whether we are, you know, dreaming at night or in the daytime, it is these both are actually dreams. So, but when one wakes up, he understands he is servant of Krishna, then he is actually awake. So, you know, that is the instruction of the spiritual master. and the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That's how we can actually wake up. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, please.
There's different types of liberation.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those liberations are that one claims the Supreme. There's the same offense as the Lord, or the same features as the Lord. So this is considered liberation. I mean, how do people work out of the soul, out of these positions? It's a spiritual world.
How does the soul?
Why does the soul work these same offenses as the Lord, or the same features as the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
It's not considered a Maya.
No, that's not Maya. Actually, in the Gita, Krishna says, like, the four types of people who come to me, like those who are distressed, the inquisitive, those who are in search of knowledge, those who want money. But, you know, because they come to Krishna, and when they get purified, Krishna fulfills those desires. So, you know, they go to Vaikuntha, they attain a form of the Lord, where it is predominant with powers and Aishwarya and opulence. So, you know, that kind of liberation is not the Mayavada liberation. Because in that position they're still serving Krishna, they're still servant of Krishna. Does that answer the question? I didn't really get the question.
Is the desire of the be having the same office as the Lord? Is that the desire of the living entity to attain that position?
For some living entity it is. Like, you know, in that verse, the four types of people who surrender to Krishna. And so three of them have these desires, you know. Two of them one is inquisitive, and one is in search of money, and one wants opulences. One wants to get rid of distress. But sometimes, some jivas we see they surrender to the demigods for the fulfillment of these desires, you know. We see these as people approach, you know, modern day leaders for the fulfillment of these desires. But if one approaches Krishna, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur mentions that when they get purified, they actually, you know, achieve like a form of the Lord in the spiritual planet, where they serve Krishna, and but at the same time they have all these different opulences. So,
we can say that Buddha
friendship.
Yeah. And also, you can see, I discussed yesterday in the next observation, that some of the counterforce has the same of the features of Krishna. For example, he meets one counterboy he's not seen before, and it also explains how they spontaneously make connections from the friendship because of having the same bodily features. So how does that work in that connection?
So you're saying how?
Because they apparently, I don't know if they would have had the desire to attain the same bodily features, but they haven't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not like the Kunda or Sivashiva or something like that. They're in the Vrindavan and they're powerful. So.
Would you like to answer?
Generally, it is for some living entities, it is their constitutional position to have the different four Vaishnava liberations. That is, you know, the Sarupya, Samyukta, Sarupya, and Srishti. So, it is their constitutional position. So, when even living entities, when they get purified, they go to the natural position in which they can have the terrible feature of having the, you know, same openness as the Lord, or having the close association of the Lord, or having the same planet. So even some living entities are not fallen down, they are still there in most of the living entities. So they have many having like the innumerable, like in the sense they have these features. So they are eternally there serving the Lord in that particular position. So it's their constitutional position.
So that's their constitutional position.
And again, from living entities who are here and also get purified and they go back to the constitutional position. If they have that kind of relationship with the Lord, then they attain that particular relationship with the Lord.
Yeah, I was reading Vishnu Chakravarti's commentary. He was mentioning that those who have a desire to get rid of distress and material opulence, Krishna awards them such a position, this position, when they are purified, because they are approaching Krishna. Yes, sir.
Do you want to
tell us
something
about Srimad Bhagavatam? I'm not very
qualified. Today is recipient day.
I really don't know much about it. Better I not speculate. Any other question?
Prabhu, you said that the world is true. Everything material, what we see here.
It is real.
Body is also real, is it?
Yes.
So, how do we distinguish this from the spiritual identity? If this is real, then why we are here?
We are here because misusing our free will, as I said. And it is real, but...
Sorry, if this is real, why we are not there and here actually?
We are not there because we don't have love for Krishna. We want to be Krishna. So whoever is there is servant of Krishna. So here, whoever is here wants to be the master. That's the mood. But over there, the mood is of servant, you know, service to Krishna. That's why we have. And other part of the question, this the difference between a spiritual body and this body is that spiritual body is eternal. Satchitananda Vigraha. But whereas this body, it is real, but it is temporary. It is going through the six transformations. Okay.
So we actually attain the spiritual body, is it?
When purified, we redevelop our spiritual body. Actually, the jiva is the spiritual body, but that spiritual body grows, comes back to its original position in the spiritual world. It is like a seed which watered and then it grows, just like that. But now it is covered over by material nature. So it is like very tiny, very dormant.
But it's the same body, basically.
Yeah, constitutional position is there, but we can say we are spirit soul 1/10,000 the tip. It is like a point, but within that point the whole spiritual body is there.
Same body that is serving Krishna in the spiritual world? I don't think so.
Sorry?
Is this the same body that serves Krishna in the spiritual world?
That's right, it is covered over by a material body. So in the spiritual world, the living entity gets its position. Any other question? Yes.
I remember once, just recently, I had a dream. I was in a church. I always wanted to go to this church. And I went into this church and I started offering my obeisances. And it was completely dark. And so I was offering my obeisances. And I could hear some voices in the background. So I was kind of thinking, oh, this is a little bit strange. It's dark, but it was completely dark. And then I started flying around the church, flying. So then I was in the church, I started to get a little bit fearful, I started to get a bit scared. So then I started yelling out, Krishna, 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 like that. So then Krishna wasn't coming, so I came back down onto the ground. And then I started flying around back on, all over the church. And then I could hear these beautiful voices in the background as well, so I was getting scared. But then I started to yell out to Lord Nityananda. I was yelling out Nityananda, screaming at the top of my voice. I remember one lecture at Prabhupada saying that I was in my subtle body and I was just dreaming, this thing happening. So then automatically, as soon as I heard that, I woke up. But it was so real that it was far out. But it was just from one dream to another dream, the day that other dreams I ever remember, I'll dream all night, but not really or anything.
Mm. Yeah, the dream is like very real. because of attachment, because identification, it feels very real. So it describes this is the daydream. This also feels very real, but actually it's a dream, because the soul has nothing to do with the body. It's just identification. Any other questions? Sansa Bhagavatam ki.
Yeah.